o'clock.
I'd like to call to order the Community Relations Committee meeting. Can I get a roll call, please?
Yes. Millen is absent. Hedman?
Here.
Walter?
Here.
And Chacon?
Here.
All right, we have our library director, Shelley, as well as Daniel.
Yes, Daniel.
Chacon, as visitors today. Darren as well. Can't forget about him. All right, any public comment about our discussion regarding formation of library district? With that, we can go ahead and move into the discussion. So I thought we could start, since I think a lot of the discussion is going to center around costs, maybe look at some of the cost accounting for what we would have to account for in the district formation process, and then maybe step back out after costs and look a little bit into some more of the general.
This is the spreadsheet that I put together with everything that I had a meeting with Collin, the fire district, and he gave me a bunch of names, and then after probably about a week and a couple of days, I got an email back from Rob about all the services that they use, which made it a whole lot easier to get these numbers. And all the numbers I picked were on the high end. When they gave me a range, it'll be $6,000 to $8,000 for the audit. I just worked in $8,000.
Okay.
As far as the accounting services, there's an email with Shelley's name on top from Michael Alexis from Alliant. He's the insurance guy. So he listed all the insurance packages. Most of it is in a package. The property insurance, we have the building insured for almost $11 million. And $1,525 for property damage. Not a bad premium for $11 million.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And general liability, up to $10,000. Non-owned auto insurance. So if Shelley's out on library business in her own car and has a problem, we would be able to cover her damages. Public office liability is different than the bond we pay. Employment practice liability is included, umbrella is included. Yeah, that would be the $5,000 to $10,000. Workman's comp would be approximately $2,500 per year. Crime is included. Cyber is not included. If we wanted cyber insurance, if somebody came in and hacked all our computers and shut them down. Then we have...
Does that cover ransomware?
Cyber would.
It's probably something good to look at when the time comes.
Seems high.
Which does?
Just the payroll. How many people do we have on payroll?
25.
Yeah, it's a lot of part-time.
Yeah, it could be less if we could mix and match, but we can't mix and match. The features Shelley would like to see, which would be managing our time off, managing timesheets, which the basic plan does, managing time off, vacation time, sick time, personal time, that kind of stuff goes with the next step up.
Okay.
So we have the five managers.
Okay.
That need that. The rest of them, the other 20, don't. But if we could do two packages that way,
right? Yeah.
then we could cut the price down.
I'm sorry, are we still talking about...
We're talking about Paylocity.
Okay, so we're not talking about insurance anymore?
Or? Sorry.
We're down. We're over here.
Okay.
Talking about Paylocity, which is one of the things in the packet. Their brochure of features and what.
Like, what does this have to do with insurance?
No, they're off insurance. Absolutely. We're down to payroll. So one of the last two pages, one of them has all the different features of the different programs. I believe we were looking at the workplace for $200 a month. $229 and a $200 setup. They take care of, you know, direct deposits. They take care of all the compliance, all the forms that are filled or filed with the state, the state and the federal government, all the quarterlies, all the monthlies, whatever.
Do they do that, or is that part of the software package?
That's part of what they do.
They should do it. If they're doing your payroll, they should.
Yeah, they take care of filing all that. That's a pain in the neck.
So in looking at the difference, though, between the modern workplace and the efficient technology, it looks like the modern workplace more has recruiting, onboarding, education, performance management, employee navigator. So, I mean, the functionality of modern versus efficient is more on the education and onboarding side. Mm-hmm. As opposed to the time off. I mean, it looks like the efficient has all of the time off and...
The efficient does not have the time off.
Yeah, it does. Efficient technology.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's a... $50 an employee is a big jump between the efficient and the modern to me.
Right.
I feel like we've done onboarding to some extent, other than... the payroll function, which will be included in the payroll portion, but I think at $50 an employee, you're probably better off looking at some sort of performance management software if that's functionality you need down the road, because that's a big difference. I mean, if you're talking, how many employees did we have? 20?
I don't know, 25.
25 at $50 a pop.
Yeah.
I mean, that's significant, so... Mm-hmm.
So on like the efficient technology, it starts at 150, mm-hmm. and then it's the so six.
Base is 150,
and then we're going to pay another 150 per month for the 25 employees. Am I understanding that correctly? Because 6 times 25 is 150.
Yes, that's what I'm reading here.
So then this quote is
29
is low.
Correct.
It's 200 per month.
It's 129.
Well, $9 per month per employee. Sorry. Base 150 plus.
Plus 150.
No, plus it's $6 or $9 per employee.
Right, and if we have 25 employees, 6 times 25 is another 150.
Right.
So that puts us at 300 for the efficient technology. So that means the 229 is low.
Yeah, you're right. I see what you're saying.
And for the modern workplace, it'd end up being like 425, not 229.
No, it would be...
$9 times,
okay.
Yeah.
Sorry, I was thinking...
Unless they're giving us...
Where is that 229 coming from?
I'm trying to pull up here.
Unless they gave us some sort of discount.
It does.
That's what we're here for.
Okay.
Oh, here we go. Go back one page. Effortless payroll package, monthly cost $229. Emerging markets price proposal. So I think they did give us a discount because they're only giving us a $4 per month fee with a base of $125.
Yeah. No, that
that's the effortless, though.
Right. Yeah, that doesn't include all the time off, time and
okay.
unemployment services.
So yeah, the $229 is the effortless. So I would say we would probably want to at least go up to the efficient.
Yeah.
Which would add $2 per employee per month. So an additional 52, yeah, plus 25. So that's 77, additional $77. So it'd be right around 300.
Yes. Yeah.
What do they mean by unemployment service?
Maybe if somebody files for unemployment, they handle the...
contesting if there would be such a thing.
Well, I feel like that should just be included.
No,
which
no,
is why I asked. Like, is it something I'm not...
Not necessarily. I mean, if the business wants to contest unemployment, then that's kind of outside the basic payroll function.
If that's what it is, then yeah.
Yeah.
Is there an explanation of all these businesses?
And then there, at the end of the year, there's a fee for the W-2s.
Yeah, that's pretty standard.
Yeah.
And who do we know that uses this?
The fire district.
Fire district?
Yeah. Let me look up. The city's accounting services says that they'll work with anybody that does payroll. They'll work with Paylocity. The audit company is Governmental Accounting. The governmental accounting that was from the fire district as well. They're the ones that would produce our levy, manage our bills. They don't print the checks. They produce a file that we would print the checks here. Shelley would submit bills to them. They would take care of all the, lining them up. She would code them, send them to them. They would get everything ready for checks to be cut, and then they would send her file, and we would print them here. We would have the print stock here, the check stock. We would print them here. Yeah, again, I jumped over.
No, it's okay. Follow you this time.
Yeah.
Are we done with Paylocity before we move on, or any other questions on Paylocity? Do we have any follow-up questions that we want to take back to Paylocity? I guess,
what
you know...
What is this a la carte page?
What page is that?
It's next to the comparison.
Beginning or towards the end? Oh, there we go. Governmental accounting. Hold on. You can see that.
I don't know.
Got it. A la carte.
So, workman's comp is not part of or benefits.
Yeah, so benefits was a big question I had because I didn't see that as far as going out and finding benefits providers and managing all that.
Well, we currently pay for our benefits, the health insurance, dental, vision, life. We would probably still use roll our peg our group plan off the city into our own.
Might not be able to do that, though. I mean, because those group rates are set on the number of employees.
Right.
So if we're a smaller group.
We would go from a group of 65 to a group of 5. So the rates would probably be a little bit higher. Right. That was part of.
But I think there's more to account for with benefits. I mean, typically you would have a broker that would even go out and kind of do the work for you.
That would be Alliant. They're the ones who do the, they do all the insurance. They do the,
I don't think they would handle your employee benefits. That's typically a different broker than your liability vendor.
I'm trying to remember. I talked to so many people.
It would be worth talking to somebody and even understanding, you know, if we have 5 employees.
No. That was Brad Porter from another group that did the employee benefits. I talked to him. Talked to somebody that the city uses that also did their benefit package.
Okay. So I'm going to keep that as an open item.
Okay.
That we have to get more information on. I think not only the who, but I think also, you know, the how reasonable will it be to go out and get a benefits package for 5 employees, and what are the costs associated with doing that. Because I guarantee we're not going to be able to keep the same rates that we have being bundled in with the city's employees when we're talking 5 employees. So
John intimated that we could lose services if we don't vote for his preschool plan. Which services can the city really dump that they're providing?
I'd like to stay on topic. I think,
can they pull benefits and things like that?
No, I don't think so.
Yeah. I want to focus, can we focus on the district right now rather than... I know, but just for the sake of the agenda and the conversation, I don't want to overstep the bounds of this meeting just because we're a committee focused on the district formation. I'd like to stay in through that. If we want to maybe talk about that afterwards, if we have the ability to move into that.
I think it actually relates.
Yeah, no.
Because if we're looking at the cost of staying as a city library, the status quo may not be the status quo.
Correct.
So we might be looking at increased prices anyway. So this additional cost may not be accurate.
Right.
So that's why I bring it up.
Benefits. I also was wondering about capturing other costs, you know, just for example, the, you know, parking lot paving and striping. Are there other costs that we're not considering that, because we are shared with the city right now, would become library costs, even if they're not annual costs, but just more of that?
Lawn mowing,
yeah.
You've got snow removal.
Snow removal. I would think landscaping in general. I mean, I know we do a lot.
They do mowing.
Yeah.
They don't
okay.
really do the spring and fall cleanup.
Okay.
We've asked them in the past and they just ignore us.
Yep.
And we have, in the past, we have taken care of our own parking lot as far as seal coating it. 2 mayors ago. In fact, when we talked about doing our parking lot, the mayor said, well, why don't you include our parking lot with that? I don't know what ever happened with that. I was off the board at the time.
Okay.
So.
How about, I mean, I know they've done light bulbs more recently. Is there any other work inside?
I mean, we've been part of their inspections, but we still pay those fees, so.
What kind of inspections?
The backflow, elevator, fire extinguisher. So we pay all those in any way.
Are those contracts through the city, or are those... Because I know the elevator contract is ours, because we renewed that
right
2 years ago.
These are... This is specific to the elevator. It's a no-load safety certificate that ThyssenKrupp
right.
does. So Dixie had just asked that we be put on the same inspection schedule as the city. That's all.
Okay.
But we still pay all
we
those
still pay
bills.
Everything.
We pay it, so
yeah.
it's not
so
going to be an added
really
cost.
Relevant here.
And the electric cost, I'm going with an estimate that I got from Tom Lindblom based on, I believe he said Station 2 was about the same size as our building. And that's about what they pay for Station 2, is $8,500 a year for ComEd.
Is there any reason the library would use more electricity than the fire station?
I think,
yeah.
We could probably lower our usage if we could get control of the lights in the main building.
Well, I would... Can we get... I know we don't see the electric bill, but could we get usage information? Are we metered?
I'm not sure if we can get... I'm not sure if ComEd supplies that.
Or would the city be able to even get that? Are we metered separately from...
I believe we're metered separately.
Okay.
Because we get probably 90% of our electric paid for through the franchise agreement with the city.
So there should be real-world information about how much usage we have if we're metered.
Yeah.
Because even if we don't see the bill, I would think we could get that. Because that would be really helpful. Because if we know our metered usage, we should be able to have a more defined cost.
Mm-hmm.
Because even if they're about the same size, I mean, I would just wonder if, you know, number of lighting fixtures even in the building can be a huge factor, the efficiency of the lighting fixtures, and I would think we would probably have more electronic equipment here than maybe a fire station would to some extent. So
I think he used Station 2 as being similar size and manned 24/7. So that we get. I don't know. I'm guessing on the water bill, it's just a guess with the number of toilets, the number of sinks we got.
Actually, I think we probably don't use a ton of water.
I don't think so. Except when somebody leaves the faucet on, which might be worthwhile putting in automatic off faucet valves at some point.
So
you don't have to worry about turning off the water when it's been running for a week.
So my other thought would be, from a financial standpoint, if we could look at one of the districts nearby, more comparable in size, so probably not Oswego, but Sugar Grove, I think, would be a good one, or even Morris is a district, right, if you go south? They're a little smaller. Yeah, they are. Their financials should be public record.
Mm-hmm.
So I wonder, just combing through a couple of other district financials to see if there's any costs that they have that maybe we haven't accounted for. Just in the way their budgets are laid out, I think that would be useful, at least for my understanding. And maybe we could even just ask for if they'd be willing to send copies of their last year's financials.
That doesn't get captured in the Apply report, right? It's just use library usage that gets captured in that section.
No, you get the expenditures and your operating budget.
Because that'd be helpful, I think, just to look through. Because if we can see a district's costs, then... I mean, this seems pretty comprehensive aside from the benefits and some of the other exterior maintenance costs. But I think that would be really helpful, too, to...
They should have their packet here somewhere.
Board of Trustees on the left. Up right there. Let's see if... There's a finance committee meeting agenda down there, too.
Oops. Now that. Doesn't look like they put their packet out there.
Yeah, it's very
limited. Public hearing for a levy. Look at that. That's interesting. Well, they probably have to because they're a district, so.
That's true, Sugar Grove.
Maybe at the top about your library.
That's where we find the board class.
Down, right there. Board of Trustees. Oh, actually, go back there. Hold your mouse over about your library again. FOI and open information, do they have the financials under there? Annual report from fiscal year June 1st, top item. That might be helpful.
Budget.
It's not broken out.
Not very detailed. Just
no.
General stuff.
The full packet might be there, though.
Budget and appropriations ordinance.
Let's go back.
Does Sugar Grove have just one branch?
Yes.
Yeah.
They have $42,000 for their utilities.
$42,000?
Yeah, so that's why I'm thinking we might be.
See that in more detail?
That's a lot of money.
It's significant. I mean, I know. I think your electric might be pretty far under. That's the one that I'm worried about. Especially cooling a big building like this, that adds up.
So, utilities would be water, gas we already pay for, right? And electric. Yeah, I think electric, that's what we need to know.
Yeah. Water, I'm not as concerned. Again, I think. Probably don't use a ton of water.
And that's just an estimate for our water usage. Is that an estimate on here, or is that...
That's an estimate.
What about trash collection?
We already pay for that.
Do we?
Yeah. How much is that?
Because that's typically... Who picks up our trash? Is it... What company?
Devonte.
So then it's probably through the city, which means we don't see a bill for it. Because that would typically be billed with water.
Or since we would be considered a business, we would be billed separately.
Correct. So that's one we're probably missing as well. And then just going back to payroll, who would manage all of the IMRF? Would they handle all that?
Yes.
Okay. And we'd confirm that?
I did, yeah. They handled the IMRF stuff.
Thank you.
appears these library districts don't put nearly as much on their websites as we do. Or should I say the city does?
Well, we could reach out to a couple of them, too.
What? Oh, no.
If they're doing their meeting minutes in Comic Sans,
that's
then
beautiful.
We'll skip that one.
This is Charles B. If it's not posted, my sister's a trustee down in Moore, so I could probably reach out to her and see if they'd share. My sister's a library trustee in Moore. Go through a freedom of information if we need to, but
I think that's really high.
I think if we just ask, some of these will probably give us their budgets.
No, the accounting services for $32.50. When they're not doing payroll?
If our data expenditures for 2020 for Morris.
Also,
their total expenditure.
We already paid for it. And so it's like 14.
Yeah, they're smaller. But I think it'd be helpful, really, to see a couple of these.
Right, just to look for what other things.
What are their expense categories? Like, what are they spending? Because if again, we see three of them that are spending $40,000 on utilities and we're budgeting $10,000, we know we're missing something.
In that vein, does anyone know how much gas is?
We're paying for it, but, like, how much?
Yeah.
But it surely doesn't make up a $30,000
right? I think electric's going to be the big cost, because all the cooling in the summer, that's going to be electric, so. Oh, that's actually my sister down at the bottom, Angelique. She's apparently their secretary, so she can't find me what I need. Okay.
Interestingly, Sugar Grove only pays $10,800 for their accounting and audit. I think this accounting fee, I mean, I'm an accountant, and I can tell you, if they're not doing our payroll, $3,250 is very
crazy. So, I mean, it may be in that manner, if we reach out to them, ask who does their accounting for a couple of the local districts, too, because if they're all working with the library, already working with the library, they'd be comfortable doing accounting for a library, so. Mm-hmm. I imagine both Morris and Sugar Grove would probably have somebody local that they use. I can make both those reach outs, both for the budgets, and we want to ask specifically about accounting services.
Yeah.
I mean, the audit seems about right, but that accounting fee seems... Which, I mean, you know, I've worked with our budget. It's not...
It's not huge.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No. And we're not doing...
Yeah, accounting services, that's preparing the financials for them every month.
Yeah, but it's accounts payable and accounts, you know, all the tax work and the levies.
And all the reports and the levies.
So.
Yeah. Then there was Mac and Associates down in Morris that the fire district uses for their audit, but they want to get us to give me a ballpark figure on what the audit would be. They wanted their financials. I just got a call from them today that they wanted, if I could get them a copy of the financials, then they could give me a then they can give me an estimate. I'm not sure what financials they would be looking for, whether it would just be this report.
If I reach out too, I can ask about if they have a benefits broker or if they're willing to share information about that as well too. Because I think, to me, the two biggest unknowns are actually, you know, you might not think benefits for five people are going to be a lot, but I think it's probably going to be one of our larger expenses that we would have to look at, and then the electric, I think, are two.
Currently we're paying, if I remember what we budgeted, it's almost $30,000.
Correct, yeah. So I think that's going to be a huge factor that we want to better understand.
I can't believe that it would be that much more than $30,000 per person.
It depends on the packages, it depends on the plans, it depends on... You have to remember that the cost with benefits are associated with being able to spread the cost amongst the group so that you're lessening the impact if somebody has a high expense. So if there's less people to spread that cost amongst, everybody's taking on a higher risk. So. And even the cost of the broker themselves, too. So also the benefits, and if you're using somebody to interface with all the benefits. Because you currently, we have medical, do we have dental, vision, do we have all through the city? Okay, so if we're looking to replicate all that, we would have to go out for all of those.
Mm-hmm. And don't forget that prepaid card that they get, too.
Yeah.
Which is all part of that. Which we can do ourselves. We don't need to have...
But, I mean, that's why we really need a broker, because we're not the ones going to be reaching out to, you know, five different insurance vendors and finding pricing. We don't have staff to do that, so...
Okay. I do have... I know of a broker that actually came and presented to the board and the staff 10 years ago.
Okay.
He's been willing to come back. I don't know if you were on the board.
Yeah, it was. It doesn't seem like it's that long. But
it's been quite a while. I was still on the board. Or was I on the... Was that the second time? I think that was the second time I came back after 2013. So maybe not quite 10 years ago. So it's probably about 2014.
Yeah.
I can get a hold of Tim and ask him if he would be willing to put something together for us. For five people.
Yeah, I mean, it'd be important to understand the cost, so.
Yeah.
All right. Any other costs that we would want to... What about the cost of actually, kind of shifting a little bit, of actually forming the district and, you know, as far as legal fees and working through that process? Do we have...
Yeah, so the approximation given to me by our attorney, Roger Ritzman, was $16,000 in costs.
And he would manage all the discussions with the court. Mm-hmm. Now, does that change... depending on the method that we choose to try and go?
He said that that was just for if the city agreed and we became, and we, and they agreed and we had that resolution to become a district, okay. Then that goes to, he gave me that solution,
okay.
That cost for going to, in that direction.
Okay.
So it could be substantially more.
It could, if it, you know, with the referendum and everything.
Yeah,
it could be.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then what happens? Were you going to say something?
I was going to say I have Judy Summerlot's numbers for snow removal and snow removal. I'm not sure if it was. Depending on when she talked to people about if we did a monthly fee, whether it snowed or not, it was like $400 a month. Or if we did a monthly per snow event, it was like $150 per snow event. And sidewalks were extra, salting was extra. All these things were extra. You can do the $150 per event and hope we don't get any snow.
Yeah, it's a dice roll. Some years one way is better, some years the other way is better.
And yep. You don't know when they'll get to you.
Right. Either. Well, both of those, they're usually you can contract the same type of response. It's just depending on how you pay for it. Because I'm familiar with, you know, the snow removal contracts we've done at where I've worked, and some years we've gone one way, and it really doesn't change the response. It just changes whether or not, because you're contracted either way, that once you get a certain amount of snow, they come up. It's just whether or not you're paying per incident or paying per month, so.
They like the one way, you pay per month whether it snows or not.
Yeah, it's more consistent for them. It's guaranteed.
Yeah. I mean, mowing, we could probably, there's not that much to mow, but still.
Yeah, we need quotes.
And I would think if we're going to mow, we would probably want to include the fall and spring cleanups too, because if we have a vendor, it probably is worthwhile to.
Now, we do have a vendor that does that for us, the one landscaping guy.
Right.
And I think he charges what, about $600-$800 to do our spring.
It's not in the notes.
Okay.
So the question is, does he do mowing too?
I'm sure he does.
But I would think we would probably want to bundle that together.
Yeah.
Just so we have one point of contact for landscaping. Our bond, what happens with that if we...
The board bond?
Yes. No. The one that was used to pay for the building.
Mm-hmm. That would be a question for Roger. Mm-hmm. I would assume the levy would be the same.
Yeah,
he said it would be the same.
Okay.
It would
be included the same way with the levy mm-hmm. as we are now until 2025 when it's paid for.
But nothing, because that bond is through the city right now, right?
No, it's the city sold the bonds.
Right.
The library, the city, as I recall, the city, if the library defaulted, the city would have to pay them. But the library levies for the repayment, so the library is not going to default on the bond. So it's the library's responsibility to repay the bonds. We pay the fee to manage the bonds. I don't know, it's maybe less than $500 a year that we pay to Bank of New York to manage the bonds.
But logistically, I mean, have we asked the question of that doesn't complicate the district formation, the fact that we have the bond through the city? Or
I don't believe so.
I can ask.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. As long as you're going to talk to them, ask them about... I was trying to put together a timeline if we did the district. And everybody I've talked to, I said, we would probably start May 1st next year to be the district, because that would be the beginning of the fiscal year.
It is a six-month process from the point of when the resolution is approved by City Council. Then it is a six-month period from that point on.
Okay.
That's the average.
Okay.
And because we are sitting within one county as opposed to like some of the other, it makes it even easier.
Right.
Yeah.
Is there a gap in...
That's what I was going to ask. Is there... Because
funds.
This year we have the levy's passed. Mm-hmm. We'll start getting money next month. Mm-hmm. Through the end of the year, or through the end of the, yeah, through the end of the year, we'll be getting money throughout, actually, till the end of the fiscal year. So by the end of this year, November, December, we have to pass another levy. Mm-hmm. Now we'll be in a district formation at that time. Mm-hmm. So if we pass a levy as the Yorkville Public Library, will we continue getting those funds next year that were already levied, even if by next year we become a Yorkville Public Library district? Mm-hmm. And then next year we would have to pass a levy as the Yorkville Public Library district.
Right. Yeah, I would just want to understand
that timeline.
That timeline, like in general, like is there...
Are we going to have a gap in funding?
Correct. That we'd have to carry through, because that's
That would kill us.
Yes.
That would definitely kill us, unless we found a sugar daddy like Charles B. Phillips to fund us.
Yep. Or do we just have to try and coordinate the time of the district formation along with...
That's why I was kind of pushing it May 1st. Mm-hmm. Because I thought there was a comment in there that we could set when it through the court hearing, we could set the date of when it happened.
We would work with the judge on that, and the judge will make the final decision.
Yeah. And I've kind of done a simple search on grants for creating library districts, and I can't find any. I don't know if there are any. I've even tried, library funding grants. I don't know if the ALA may have resources. I don't know, but I might think no, that Rails might have resources as far as funding, funding overlap for creating a district. Because I can't believe we're the first library that's going to run down this road.
No.
So I know Aurora is now a library district, even though on this map it shows it as a city library.
Roger is the one who actually worked on that.
Yeah. And I was surprised that Joliet is a city library.
I think for bigger cities, they probably... More often than not, Chicago's a city
Chicago's
library.
City
yeah,
library as well.
Yeah.
There's specific codes in the library law for Chicago and Aurora. Because before they became a district, they wanted to have an elected board.
Got it.
So they had to change state law to have an elected board. We could do the same thing. Change the state law and have an elected board in Yorkville.
Okay. Any other concerns on cost? Thoughts on cost?
Everybody buy a lottery ticket.
So, kind of takeaways, just to make sure we have it. Employee benefits, both broker and costs. Lawn mowing, snow removal, parking lot, potentially.
Trash.
Added utilities, we have trash and electric. Other questions we have is cost for accounting services we could potentially talk to local districts about, as well as reviewing some of the other budget line items from local districts to make sure there's not anything that we're missing. And then legal costs, we have the city council versus referendum, if there's a difference in legal fees between those two routes. The building bond, what would happen with that through district formation, and whether or not there's a fund gap depending on the timing of the district formation. Okay. Mm-hmm.
still thinking when we total everything up, it's going to be $150,000 we're going to have to come up with.
The fund gap is the big other one, though, so no matter how much we have to come up with. Yeah. So kind of moving on to that, just taking the discussion a little further down that route of, you know, if we add on anywhere from $80,000 to $150,000, we know we're just barely at the point where we break even, you know, 3 or 4 years down the road. So this is going to be a financial burden to the library. I just want to talk through, obviously, the benefit is it gives us the ability to annex additional areas into the district. How are we going to market that? Well, is there anything, any other research that we need to do to make the decision of whether or not this is the right route for our library from the standpoint of we can't just make the jump, take on additional $80,000 to $150,000 and assume we're going to be able to annex additional areas? Because obviously, from the discussion with the city, when the city wanted to annex the holes in Yorkville, it became a pretty hot topic. So, what other information do we need to make that decision? What other tools should we consider for starting to work down the path of, is this going to realistically increase our tax base enough to offset the additional costs we're going to bring on? Because to me, that's the biggest question right now, is I understand what it allows us to do and the flexibility it gives us, but the reality is, will it? And is there enough of a demand out there to bring in revenue to offset the costs?
Possibly we could ask, do we have any, like, how much annexing would we need to do to cover that?
That's a good question. So what's, you know, if we say the average, let's say the average, what's the average out of city library cost, card cost, would you say? Is it 200, 250? Okay. Because that's, in theory, what they pay, right? That's done by the same calculation as a tax bill. So I want to say in previous discussions it's been around $250.
That's what I thought.
Okay. So realistically, if you're talking, $100,000 divided by $250, how many houses is it?
4,000, so...
calculator. So let's just put a flat 150. 100. 100, yeah. 100,000 divided by 250. 400, yeah. So we know our break-even point roughly by our back of napkin math is 400 houses. So we would conceivably, do we know how many households are in the school district versus how many households are in the library district? Are those numbers we would be able to find?
Probably.
And that's at $100,000 a year. If our costs are more than $100,000 a year, then that magic number changes.
But this brings up my point that we might not have a choice on some of these costs if the city decides.
It's true, but we can only make the decision based on the information we have right now, so... 10,316 households.
For the entire city?
This is for the school district.
Okay.
Censusreporter.org, Yorkville Community School District 115, has 10,316 households. Households 6,473. So we need roughly 10% of the households.
Then we have to figure out how many of those 10,516 are included in another library district.
Yeah, that's true. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So best case scenario, we need 10% of the school district that's not currently within Yorkville.
Yeah, what is the difference between the two? 4,000?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, it's almost exactly 10%.
Can you see a map of the school districts like you can of the library districts? Yeah. Anyone know if anything like that exists?
Well, I'm sure there's one out there. State Library. The nice thing would the better thing would be, is there an overlay where we could just say school district here, library district there.
That one probably didn't exist. So.
Might have maps. I have the. If you go to y15.org, it has boundary maps. Just search in the right hand. Search for boundary maps is what it's called.
If I can spell.
Did that just do a web search? It did. Okay. So if you do a Google search for school district map, Yorkville School District map, it's the first thing that comes up. If I don't know where it is on their site. It looks like the big opportunity might be south.
What was I looking for?
Yorkville School District map. So it's all the colored areas. It's just denoting which grade school feeds into it. But all of that is 115. So if you look at that versus
wow.
Yeah, so it's south is the big opportunity.
There's not a lot.
There's not a lot of houses down there, though. That's the only thing.
My initial thought was to target the areas like Bristol. Bristol's it's actually a pretty big area. It encompasses all of this up here and all of this down here.
So I wonder if there's an opportunity in areas, like if we can target it on this map, like obviously the population density is gives you the most bang for your buck to, mm-hmm. to look at a specific area. I mean, I'm thinking like mailers or even, you know, door to door, just to get a rough idea of the interest level in those areas. Mm-hmm. Because I feel like that's pretty important for us to make our informed decision of knowing what the possibility even would be. Because if we know that roughly 10% of the total area is our need, once we have a better idea of our cost, then you could assume that if we spot survey specific areas, if we get around that, we'll have a gauge as far as whether or not it's a viable solution. My biggest concern is obviously
we have to have a 50%. Like if we go by the referendum, like
it's only 10% of the registered voters in
to get it on the
referendum.
Correct.
It's 10% of the registered voters of the city of Yorkville.
But keep in mind, the people that would be agreeing to the referendum are already paying for the library. Mm-hmm. So for this to be viable, we have to get people that would be outside the scope of the referendum to say, yes, we would pay additional taxes to have access to the libraries. Because the referendum itself of the Yorkville population, in theory, it's budget neutral, right? So like it's people voting whether or not they want to pay their tax through Yorkville or pay it to a district. It really doesn't matter to them. So you're not asking for money, and I would assume we would position it that way if we were able to get it, that it's not going to occur additional costs. It's just to separate the library as a library district. But my biggest concern is the population that would be able to be added to the district, how many of those would be willing to pay additional taxes, especially right now. I mean, taxes in Kendall County are high, and with COVID and with, you know, everything that's going on, I think it's going to be a tough time to ask people to pay additional tax money for library services.
So if a referendum fails,
we still remain a city library.
But we have to pay the legal fees of $16,000 too.
No,
well, depending on what the fees are for the referendum,
right?
The $16,000 is if the city agreed for our resolution.
Plus, I think that makes our case stronger to the city and stronger to the population if we have data to say we went into these areas that are outside Yorkville. You know, 30% of people support adding library services. So I think that's the piece that we need to find, rather than getting the costs and saying, yeah, if we get more people, we can do that, because the city might be open to the fact that if there's a demand out there and the demand will cover our increased costs and it's both a sound decision for the library and for the people in the area, that it's the right way to go.
That makes no sense. Like you got purple up here, and then down here, and orange here and there.
Those are just the different schools.
I'm just saying it makes no sense.
So basically, if you're south of the river, you go to Circle Center.
Yeah.
It's just based on the population and
right. The
crowding of the school.
Yeah.
But I mean, the green is separated, and the purple separated. And the
probably
orange
sizes
separated.
And ages of subdivisions. And
yeah.
I don't know. That's just starting. Plopping stuff down.
Well, because they've added schools too, like so, which is Grand Reserve. The green, yeah, green. That makes sense. So when they added Grand Reserve, they probably wanted to take population out of whatever that small South Green piece is and put that in with it. And Autumn Creek is right kind of in the middle, so.
Yeah. And Bristol. I mean, there's a little piece above 30 up here, but this is where Bristol is.
No, Bristol Bay's orange.
Bristol Bay.
Oh, Bristol Bay Elementary guy and grade school. Guy.
Yeah,
okay.
It's Bristol.
Separate.
Yeah, yep.
Yeah, that's a K-3 over at the Bristol school.
Got it. So, recommendations, I mean, I feel next steps with the board. Once we get a sound understanding of the financials, I think the other piece we need is just the feasibility of adding to the district. So do we have thoughts on how we would want to start getting that information?
You have names and addresses of all the people who buy cards, right?
Well, we know how they feel. I'm thinking more of a geographic area.
Yeah. we could hit the Bristol.
But you can see how many people from one subdivision.
Yeah, I was
going to
say if it's extremely clustered someplace, then you know that's an easy take.
And so if you have a sizable amount of body in one subdivision, at least that's a place to start.
Sure.
And see if they're interested.
Get the neighbors to influence them.
We have a good grassroots program.
Yeah, we do with the Friends. So I think that's an opportunity. Mm-hmm. Also, I think of things like homeowners associations. If there's any areas that are unincorporated that has a homeowners association, is there an option to get that on a newsletter or sent out with an association bill if they have one? But to me, that would be as important in the process as understanding the costs, since it's how to offset the costs.
Also, when would these costs come into play? Would it be like immediately once we become a district, or?
Yeah, I mean, pretty much all of these we would have to. But again, that goes in the timing and the fund gap as well. So just understanding. But yes, we would have an electric bill for day one as a district. We would have accounting to handle day one as a district.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's the other thing too, is you captured, do we have all the setup costs captured here? So would the accounting have any setup costs, or is it just the monthly cost?
I believe it was just, he did not reference any setup costs.
Okay.
The only person that did was the payroll.
Yeah, Paylocity had,
okay.
Paylocity had a $200
right.
Plus the W-2 base.
Okay.
So it looked like with the efficient technology package that monthly was going to be, if we did the W-2 and all that, well, yearly I should say, it was like $525 or something. Or is this a monthly? This is a monthly charge.
What?
Yeah, I'll do that
later.
Yeah.
As you spread it out, it was $2,748 for the year, plus the $232.
So,
do we want to push the fact-finding discussion to the whole board meeting, or do we want to keep that in committee for next meeting, or what's
I, I, I think we should probably at least update.
Okay.
Update the board as to what is currently going on. And say these are the items that we have identified as bills or things that we would have to take on. And you know, if somebody else says, oh, hey, did you...
Think of us.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then the only other piece that I would think we would want to talk about or think about would just be kind of what's our marketing pitch. I mean, obviously this has already been covered in the media, but just making sure that everybody's carrying the same messaging and understanding why we're doing it and, you know, what's language that's going to help everyday citizens appreciate and understand the need for this. So that's my only other thought.
I know that when I had talked to the friends at one point, they were, you know, they believed that the media portion, you know, that we could, you know, meet and go over how to you know, get this out to the public, how to, you know.
And I think the friends would be a great resource for that. And then have we had any initial conversations with the city about this, about the possibility of looking at it as a city council vote versus the referendum? Or
so I know of, you know, in talking with, three people on the city council, they were, you know, endorsing us to go this path.
Okay.
It seems like it'd save them money. Like, that's a...
Yeah. I mean, it does have benefits for them. I mean, it takes a lot of the concern and management off them, so...
Okay.
If you go by... It's not a... In the grand scheme of things, it's not a huge... If you look at our budget, the transfer to general is what they pay us. Of course, that's not the whole cost.
Yeah.
And it's like $25,000 is what they give us for services that they provide. But I don't believe that includes the... there was some other cost in there, unemployment insurance. That isn't part of paying that. And, for 25 people, they've raised the cap to $12,950, and I believe what did I read that the minimum was 7.5%, which included a fund. I forget what the wording was, but it was some kind of a surcharge to repopulate their fund, recapture their fund that's going out the window.
7.5 is super high.
Well, that's what I was reading on the IDES website. I forget what it was. The last time I made a payroll for my company, it was 5.5. You know, I was at the low end. Maybe it was even less than that. I'd have to go back and look at my books. We can look them up.
That's...
Does Alliant offer that unemployment?
They file unemployment forms, but they don't pay the unemployment tax. So 2021.
That's a wasp.
It's maximum 6.4%.
$12,960. Okay.
What?
Good luck with that.
What did you say?
There was a pause.
And it went in the vent.
Well, that's fun.
But we pay in unemployment right now, so
yes.
That would be hopefully a budget neutral cost. It would just be filed through Alliant.
Yeah.
Because I would assume we would pay at the same rate.
Probably.
Yeah. And that depends on how many people file for unemployment. That
right.
number can go up.
Right.
Well,
no, I can't go above
a maximum of
6.4%. That's why when you said 7.9, I'm like, that's super high.
I read somewhere along here that I read 7.9, but
2011, right there.
Because I most of my clients are 3%.
Which 2011, that would make sense because that was right after the recession, so I'm sure it was probably high then. Mm-hmm.
And if you're, you know, if you're starting out with no employment history, you're on the higher side until they
bring you down.
Yeah, but if you've got, you know, if you've got a ton of unemployment, then you stay at the higher. But most people don't stay that high, in my experience.
All right, this has been good. Does anybody else have anything they wanted to cover as part of this? My only other question was, do we have any of the documents from the last time the library explored this?
Yeah.
Okay. Because that would probably be good to review, too, to see if there's anything they found out that we haven't accounted for.
Well, that's where I got my list from.
Okay. So if you've already gone through that and feel that this is pretty well...
Yeah.
Because I remember them saying, when we discussed this probably 3 or 4 years ago, you saying it was around 200,000 that we'd have to carry. Was that just based on a different estimate of the costs involved, or was that the gap? Do you remember?
Don't remember.
Okay. Does anybody have anything else? Great. All right. Well, thank you all. We can go ahead and
end the meeting.